The killer.
He had to go to the bathroom.
He had to go poop.
The bad one.
Why do you need the killer?
Nothing. I just enjoy it when he's riding levels.
No.
Which is a rare occurrence.
Do that when he's here.
I know. Good point. All right. So the big news today is that we found out later in the evening yesterday that Josh Hamilton apparently had a relapse of his alcoholism on Monday night at Sherlock's Pub in Dallas. Now, the only details that we really have so far is that he relapsed. The Rangers are aware of it. Ian Kinsler was on the scene at some point in there. At first, people were saying, hey, if Ian went to the bar to go drinking with Josh, Ian should be kicked off the team. And but then later on, we started hearing reports that, no, Ian went out there because he was concerned about Josh.
I don't think there's any way Ian would go out drinking with Josh. There's no way.
What about if they're just buddies?
This is a team that goes the extra mile to make sure that they don't drink champagne around him when they celebrate a championship.
All right, but, and this is, we've been having this debate this morning about earlier in Gordo's O-Deck, is that what it's called? We talked about if you're the bartender and you know Josh's story, do you refuse to serve him when he orders a beer? And you and I were on different sides of that issue, Craig. But one alcoholic emailed me, a guy who's been 16 years sober. He agreed with you. He said, hey, it is the alcoholic's responsibility to stay sober as a bartender. He orders it. Even if you know his story, you serve it to him knowing that's he's going to fall off the wagon with it. What if Ian has the same attitude? Hey, it's not my responsibility to keep this guy sober. It's Josh. If he wants to drink, he can drink. I'm not going to preach to him.
Because Ian's his friend. The bartender is not his friend. I think they've got a much different relationship. Friend, teammate. They've been through a lot together. The bartender just meets him for the first time.
All the Rangers feel responsible for him.
Yeah, they're part of his family. The bartender is not part of his family. It's a difference.
Perhaps the bartender's part of the Ranger family.
No,
of
he's
fans.
Not. He's looking for a good tip from a baseball player.
So, we're going to find out more today as the details come out. I'm predicting today will be the day that we will see the first pictures of Josh in the bar.
Somebody had to have snapped
Absolutely.
One.
Everyone experiences life now through the screen of a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
We see Madonna. People don't look at Madonna. They look at their phone screen that's looking at Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody experiences anything without the mediation of a smart device.
Which, by the way, we're going to get into that very topic in 1 hour when we talk about our experience with Madonna.
Okay. All right. That's at 8:15, right?
8:15.
I can't wait for that. God, we were so wrong yesterday at the Madonna press conference. My mic sound thin?
No, okay. You're okay.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm curious because at this point we don't know if he took one sip of a beer or if he had 20.
Right.
If there's a picture of him just walking into the bar looking innocent, or if there's a picture of him doing body shots like off some girl's tummy, like we had in
whipped cream
in Arizona,
that real full throttle scene.
We have no idea the extent of it. So
if you have the one beer though. And you're already, all right, fell off the wagon tonight. Might as well make this night count. That, of course, is the alcoholic thinking process.
Mm-hmm.
The reasonable person says, well, I've had one sip. I've now had a full relapse, so I need to push away from the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's what every other P1 would do that doesn't have a problem with alcohol, right? They can stop at one sip.
See what happens. See what comes out. I'm sure something will come out, right? The Rangers can't just no comment this thing.
Well, George thinks they're going to try to sweep it under and say, you know, hey, we're not going to comment on this.
I don't necessarily think it's sweeping it under if you just have an incident that no one's really clear of. What if there are no pictures? What if there's really no accounts of what happened outside of one or two people at that place? They could just look at it as that's a private matter and we'll leave it at that.
I guess the problem there is you're inviting all sorts of wild speculation. If you don't come out with the facts.
Yeah. It will come out, Giorgio.
Then you're inviting everybody to speculate that it was just like the Arizona incident and that there were women involved and tons of drinks. And if I'm the Rangers, I don't want that speculation if that's not true.
And I got to tell you, I had that debate when I first saw this. I kept thinking, man, this should just be private. Should we even really know about this? Is this gossip or is it news? Or is there a difference between those two things anymore? I don't know. But the more I thought about it, yeah, with Josh Hamilton, that's news. This is news,
yes.
And you have to report on that.
Because the Rangers are trying to decide right now whether to give him a gigantic contract for
right.
the long term.
Oh, he just hurt that.
Yeah.
He just hurt that so much. And he's, you know, married, got the three kids, and you know when he had his relapse in Arizona, you know what he said that was due to? Not necessarily his addictive personality or his addiction.
Straying in his faith?
Yes. He said that was a spiritual relapse.
Mm-hmm.
Is what that was. He wasn't as close to the Lord as he should have been right then, and he knows that's the one thing that keeps him sober is the Lord. So I think Josh Hamilton himself is going to want to address this.
Yeah.
He might.
Then again, when you think back to the Arizona one, we didn't find out about that one until much later. Remember? Wasn't there like there was a gap there between when it happened and when we found out about it, right?
I can't remember. I mean, we've had a little gap here, 4 days.
Yeah.
It seems like there was...
I thought there were a few months there. Was it...
I don't think
so. Or a few weeks.
Was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was an incident from like the spring, and it came out in July, I believe, of that year.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not confusing
the
Washington thing?
Now, the Wash. Somehow, Wash
that
snorts up a vat of cocaine and we didn't find out.
Wash was
it.
At the All-Star break of the 09 season, and it came out in spring training of 2010.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Ranger news is very slow to leak out from off the field.
Well, we'll continue to follow the story. Keep it here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Not only for information and breaking news about this, but for the analysis that you need
and have to be having.
And have to be having from your favorite local personalities. Thank you. The Ticket. All right, in other news, do you know what is the number one
The Ticket
foodstuffs on Super Bowl Sunday?
Pizzas?
This kind of shocked me. I would have guessed pizzas.
Chips.
That would have been my second guess. No, both of those have been eclipsed.
Sandwiches? Subways?
No, not pretzels. Not sandwiches. Not pretzels. That kind of falls into the salty snack chips kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be the idiocracy taking over, but it's wings.
I was going to say wings.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is wings.
I like wingies.
Drunk with wings.
And it's... I don't like wings. I've never liked wings. They just... They smell like douche, and it just... Ugh.
I'm not a big wing
weird
fan
color.
Either. There's you get an awful lot of work for very little meat mixed in with all that gristle.
Yeah. Meat, gristle. There's bones involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they taste good.
Do they?
Yeah. So they say all the different flavorings on them?
Different strokes for different folks. So Americans are going to scarf down 1.25 billion wings while watching the game on Sunday. That is America. They say that this is Americana now, that wings and beer and a ball game. That's what it's become. Chicken wings were number one with 23%. They did this poll. That's how they found this out. 23% of Americans in this Harris poll said that chicken wings were their favorite thing to eat. Close behind were dips and spreads. And pizza and salty snacks was third with 14%.
To deal with spreads.
What is a spread? I mean, not a point spread, but a...
Right. Is it...
I thought a spread is just a table that's set up with snacks.
Right. That is a spread.
Yeah, you got a great spread here.
Dips and spreads. So a spread is something you have to take with a knife and spread it on your chip or cracker?
No, I was thinking of... I was using it as a more general term as demeaning the
everything
table.
That you have out.
The tableau of
No, you are right about that, but in this case, when they say dips and spreads, I think they're talking about bean spread or something that you...
Snacks!
Cheese spread that you spread on a cracker, right?
Hmm. I guess, yeah. Like, what's your favorite spread? Is Miracle Whip a spread?
See, I don't think I eat spreads.
Well, if you spread mustard on something, is that a condiment or a spread, or can a spread be a condiment?
I don't think mustard is a spread, although you spread it on like a hot dog bun or a piece of bread. I don't know. I've always been turned off by the term spread.
Why? You want women to do that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, I'm talking about
Knew he couldn't go.
I'm talking about, well, oh, about talking food, about snacks. You're going to turn it anyway. This whole thing when, yeah, we've got dips and spreads for you. Pimento spread.
Right. That's, why is this so confusing to you?
Well, it was confusing to you, too. You said a spread was a whole thing of...
Well, it is.
I know it is, but not in this case.
I don't want to argue about it with you. I want to get along. We're at the Super Bowl. Speaking of Super Bowl, Gisele Bündchen sent out an email.
If I'm Tom Brady, I am so embarrassed by this.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm pissed that in today's world, there's just no privacy anymore. And we all just kind of say, well, that's just today's world. Nobody seems to fight for privacy or fight against this. We just hear a story like this and we all go, oh, okay. She sent it out. She should have known it'd go public. So this email that she sends out to their closest family and friends, this is how it reads. My sweet friends and family, this Sunday will be a really important day in my husband's life. He and his team worked so hard to get to this point, and now they need us more than ever to send them positive energy so they can fulfill their dream of winning this Super Bowl. So I kindly ask all of you to join me on this positive chain and pray for him so he can feel confident, healthy, and strong. Envision him happy and fulfilled.
This is the guy who wants privacy. He's reading it with this tone.
Experiencing with his... I'm trying to change my voice a little bit. Experiencing with his team a victory this Sunday. So
yeah, my problem is with these family and friends that forward that to somebody.
Yeah, who ratted on? I mean, it's a sweet email. She's a loving wife, and although Craig says that he would kick her out of the marriage if she ever sent something like this on him.
I didn't say that. I just felt I'd feel a little embarrassed. Praying for a Super Bowl win?
No, she said just pray for positive energy, right?
Praying for positive energy for him in the Super Bowl.
She never said specifically, pray that God punishes Eli Manning and the Giants. I mean, yeah, isn't it a sweet email?
Yes, I think it is. And I can't believe that a family member would say, I think I'll send this to Entertainment Tonight. Or whoever they sent it to get it started, or the Boston Globe.
You know how it happens. It probably wasn't a family member and it wasn't a close friend. It was the person that the close friend shared it with, who thought that they could trust that person. Well, once you get two steps removed from a feeling of responsibility, it's like, hell yeah, look at this. Hey, look at this. And they pass it on to someone, and then they finally you get six people down, and they're like, hey, I'm sending this to Deadspin. Because it's funny. Look how gay she is. Positive energy, empowerment. Screw those gay terms.
You do wonder how long the email list was.
Yeah. That's a thing, man. You can't control things anywhere. And in the digital age, things are so easily replicated. All right, so Donald Trump, I told you yesterday that he had a big press conference. He endorsed Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Said that Romney was the most luxurious candidate that the Republicans had. And Vince Young tweeted that he's been invited to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh really?
Gosh. Yeah. What? Shouldn't he do it?
He needs to just kind of resurrect his football career before he worries about that.
Be throwing the football through the tire in the backyard, not dancing.
And Aaron Carter and Nick Carter's sister, Leslie, has died of a drug overdose at the age of 25. You're a boy band guy, aren't you, Giorgio? You know who the Nick and Aaron Carter are.
The Nick and Aaron Carter are, yeah.
Yeah, well, their sister is Leslie Carter. She actually had a minor hit a while back, but she OD'd on something to treat schizophrenia and bipolarism and a muscle relaxant and Xanax. Mm. 25 leaves behind a 10-month-old daughter.
Who are Nick and Aaron?
Some guys that George has a crush on.
I don't have a crush on them.
Let's end on something uplifting.
They're big boy
right?
stars. Aaron was he was the solo guy. Nick was in one of those bands.
Backstreet Men to Men.
Backstreet to Men.
All right, and in an uplifting note, a 74-year-old guy in Thailand died after accidentally swallowing his dentures during sex with a 62-year-old prostitute.
Ugh. Okay.
The prostitute said she had sex with this guy for 30 minutes. His name was Chen. She had sex with Chen for 30 minutes. Then he got up from the bed, paid her, and as he was about to put his clothes on, he suddenly collapsed. fell back onto the bed. His eyes were open. He wasn't moving. They take him to the hospital and found his denture stuck down his throat.
You're supposed to spit it out, you dope.
Had he taken them out?
Swallow it?
I don't know.
And was putting them back in after sex?
This makes it sound like he had them in during sex, but the vigor with which he was administering his love.
So glad you put that story in.
Caused
there.
Him.
Awesome.
Caused him to get him down his throat.
Right. Nick Carter was Backstreet Boys. You're right, Gordo. Birthdays?
There's an exciting update on the Leslie Carter story. Shelley Berman is 87.
My wife.
No. He's a comedian. And I think he wasn't the voice of Cat in the Hat. I forget who Shelley Berman. He's Hello Mudda, Hello Fada, right? We were just talking about him this trip. Blythe Danner, 69. Mother of Gwyneth?
Yep.
Dave Davies of the Kinks, 65. Singer Melanie is 65.
Okay.
Tickets own Morgan Fairchild is 62. Nathan Lane, 56. And country singer Martricia Berg is 48. And sports birthdays, Vlade is 44.
And he'll be happy about that.
Bob Greasy, 67. And Fran Tarkington, 72. Didn't we have an awkward moment with him one time?
Yes, we did.
We need to listen to that today.
All right, Gordo. Thank you. That's Muse in the News, 7:33.